All right, well, welcome to our Father's house and welcome to Easter Sunday. We're so excited that you're joining us here today. If you're a regular OFHer or you're someone from somewhere else just dropping in with us, we're thankful that you're here. You could really be joining us from anywhere on the planet, and so we're excited for that. Just want to say right up front, this is a pre-recorded message. I'm doing this here Saturday with a couple of our folks, some from our prophetic team. We're just excited to see what God's going to be doing, but we're really trying to get ahead of some of the stuttering problems we had last week. So we're doing this on Saturday so that we can show it live. So I'm with my family right now. You may have seen our message from earlier today, just welcoming you and saying Happy Easter to you. So we're just excited that you're here joining it with us to view this and go through the message. I'll be joining online, so you might see me chatting here and there. I'm just really excited to see what God is doing in this season. This is going to be a little bit weird watching this back for me, but I think it's also going to be very cool. Just wanted to let you know also that that we're thankful that you would choose our Father's house to come and spend your Easter with. There's a lot of choices that are online. We're really excited that the Word of God is getting out and it's active, and many churches are stretching into this virtual space. So we're excited to be part of that as well. A couple of things. Usually we have folks depart from this site and go and play one of our YouTube playlists. This week we are not doing that. We have some special guests, actually. Carrie Job and Cody Carnes had been doing some time before the Lord and really felt led to help lead worship for local congregations all across the world. Many churches like ourselves are having challenges with copyright issues and things like that for trying to do streaming worship. And they said, hey, no strings attached. We just want to bless churches all across the world and just do some worship sets and let you play that in your streaming service. So we've opted for that today. So we have a one-click service. That means you just get to stay on right now. The worship set's going to come up next. And then at the end of that, we're going to go into the Word. At the very end, we're going to do communion like we've been doing. And so we hope you just join us for the entire time. It's going to be a great time. So Happy Easter. We're here to celebrate the risen Lord. See you in a little bit. All right. So now we're going to get into the message. Yeah. All righty, here we go. By the way, this is weird. In case you were wondering, it is in fact very weird. I feel like I'm talking to myself because I can see myself a little bit here. All right. Well, welcome back. I want to start off the message today by saying this right here. It was never intended that you live a life of powerlessness, ruled by fear, weakness, and brokenness. It was always intended that you live a life of power, strength, and love as God's representative in the earth, functioning on the basis of your relationship with God as your Father. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for what it means right now, Lord, for you to have risen to life for us, that you paid the price for sin, that you came to take away fear, to take away death, to take away all those things, and that you rose from the grave. And we just ask right now, Lord, as we're celebrating this time, as we've done this time in worship, and we know your presence is with us right now, Lord, I thank you, and I welcome you into this message. I ask that your words would be anointed, Lord, that you would reach into our hearts and that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us, and you would draw all men, all women to you right now, Lord Jesus, that our eyes would be focused on you and the finished work that you have. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for Easter, and we thank you for everything that it represents. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed us all the way up front, I'm going to tell you right now that this is a pre-recorded message. I'm doing this on Saturday with a couple of our folks. Our prophetic team has some representation here, and we're just excited about what God is doing right now in this season. We're trying to bypass some of the stuttering problems we had last week with our streaming service, so this time it's pre-recorded. So Thank you for trying this out with us. We're excited to be doing it. And I hope you enjoyed the worship set that we just had with Carrie Job and Cody Carnes. Those two are just so anointed by the Lord for worship, and we're so blessed that they would choose to offer their talents to the body of Christ across the world right now. I just want to say that is very kingdom thinking. And so we want to honor that. We want to honor them and the work that the Lord is doing through them. So we're thankful for that today. Like I just said, I'm going to get right back into that. You were meant for a life of power, strength, and love as God's representative in the earth, functioning on the basis of your relationship with Him as your Heavenly Father. See, the fall in the garden brought us away from that original intent that God had planned for us. But He planned ahead of time for this. God wasn't surprised by the fall. He actually knew it was going to happen. It wasn't like He was scrambling after it happened. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? He knew it was going to happen. He didn't want it to happen, but He knew that we would. And today, we get to celebrate the rescue that He did, the remedy that He gave for us. He sent His Son for us to die for our sins, but not just to die, to be resurrected to new life, demonstrating victory over death and what this means for us. So we're going to talk about all that stuff here today, because we live our lives one way before we know Jesus, and afterwards, there's a completely different story. So again, I want to welcome you. If you're first time with us, if you're regular and recurring, we're just glad that you're here right now. God's got something for you today. Whether you've known Jesus for a long time or you don't yet know Him, God has something for you today as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. So, sin has separated us from God. Many of us know that. I just want to reiterate, God never intended for you to live a life of powerlessness, ruled by fear, weakness, and brokenness. I've said that a couple of times already, and I'm going to say it a few times here because we really need to get that into us. We live underneath that for so long in our lives, and we get stuck in that place, and God has something that's so much better for us. He never intended that for us. He never intended for us to be ruled by darkness. But as a result of the fall, that's exactly what we're born into. We're born into a kingdom of darkness, and God doesn't want us to live there. When Adam and Eve sinned, the eyes of their soul were opened. And when their eyes of their soul were opened, an orphan spirit entered into the world. Prior to that, they got to walk in great, deep relationship with their Heavenly Father. They were placed here in earth to rule on His behalf. I mean, Adam named everything. He got to tend the garden. He was doing everything that his father was showing him to do. But when sin came in, it separated them. And all of a sudden, when God came into the garden, we know that they cowered. They were afraid, and they hid from Him. And that's not what we were meant to do with our Father. And He was looking for them because He cared about what was going on with them. When that orphan spirit entered the world, all of a sudden we see this three things. And you've probably heard Pastor Lanny say this if you've been with us before: self-provision, self-promotion, and self-protection. Instead of looking to God for the answer of all of those things, our Father making the way for all of us, for all of those things, we started looking to ourselves. We started looking internally. And when we look internally on these things, as many of us know, all we find really is what we can scrape off the corners of our insides, which ultimately doesn't amount to a whole lot, especially when the rubber meets the road. We depend on ourselves, and when things get hot, we realize we don't have the depth that's necessary, but God always does, and God made a way. See, Adam and Eve stopped recognizing their Father as their source. And this really damaged themselves, damaged their lives, and has damaged things for the rest of us for the rest of eternity. On your own, you can only go so far. You can only go so far. You can only protect yourself so well. You can only provide for yourself so well. You can only promote yourself so well. And it all comes out of self, and it's all about self. And that's never how it was intended for us to be. The other thing is this. When we're born into darkness, we're born into sin. And sin ends up ruling over us, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But sin separated us in our relationship from our Father. We're not living in the place where we could be with Him. And ultimately, that's what we want to get back to. That's how we were designed to be. Whether we know that He is there or not, there's a heart cry in us yearning for Him, that He is the answer. And only He is the answer. to overcome sin, you just can't do it. You can do all the good things that you want to, but you'll never pay the price for the sins that are in your life. Whether it's lying, whether it's cheating, and whether it's sexual sin, whether it's looking at stuff you shouldn't be looking at, whether it's involving yourselves in things that are detrimental to yourselves or others, whatever it is, sin attacks us from many different ways. And it could even just be pride. You might think, I do all sorts of things right, and you might do a lot of really great things, but ultimately we get motivated by pride and arrogance. God wants to come and be the remedy for all those things. No matter how much good you do in your life, you will never overcome the effects of sin that have taken place, because there's only one remedy, and that's Jesus Christ himself. See, apart from God, you are ruled by sin. You're in bondage. You don't have a choice about it. If you're not ruled by God, you're going to be ruled by someone else. And that's not a decision that you have a choice for, whether you're ruled or whether you aren't. You might think, oh, I'm ruling myself. It's all about me, and I'm independent. I can do all these things. And that might feel that way, but ultimately, you don't really have a say from a spiritual dynamic. You will be ruled by one thing or another. And if it's not God, it's the enemy. The enemy of your spirit. The enemy of your soul. He doesn't want you to get to know your Father. Because if he does, he loses control of you and you get to live life the way you're designed to live. Now, you might not have a choice about whether or not you're ruled. But you do get to have a choice of who you're ruled by. One is meant to suck the life out of you. The other is to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. Like I said, you can't pay the price for your sin. The penalty of sin is death. And God made a way for sin to be paid for. He started very early on in creation's history, the remedy for sin, at least the payment for sin, was always death. And he taught us as mankind to sacrifice, usually a lamb, to pay for that price. The blood had to be shed by an innocent lamb, something that had never sinned, something that was without spot or blemish, something that didn't have any part in what someone had done, to pay the price for their sin. And he set that early on. You see, all the way back to Cain and Abel, There's sacrifices that are made before the Lord. And Abel sacrificed a lamb. And God said, that's good. God accepted that sacrifice. So we see all the way back into there. And even actually back before then, you see when Adam and Eve had sinned, God actually, he ended up having to kill one of his other creatures to clothe them in skins. I mean, that's pretty deeply back in there. But God started putting in place types and shadows of what was to come. Because the true Lamb that takes away the sin of the world is Jesus. It says in Revelation, in Revelation 13, verse 8, it talks about that the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And he was slain from the foundations of the earth. Remember I said back at the beginning of this that God always knew that we were going to fall, and he prepared a way for it. His son Jesus already volunteered to say, I will go. I will go and I will rescue them. So the decision had already been made in eternity, but it had to play out in creation. And so we see that take place. See, Jesus came to earth to pay the price for your sin and the sins of the whole world by taking our place on the cross, though he himself was innocent of all sin. We see in John chapter 1, verse 29, that John the Baptist is at the Jordan River, and he sees Jesus coming. And what does he say? He says, behold, he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is an eternal declaration. John is recognizing Jesus as the answer, and he's saying, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the Hebrew culture, they already knew that the lamb had to be sacrificed for sin. And John is saying, this isn't just any lamb. This is the lamb. He came as the perfect sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice that could do this for everyone. That lamb had to be slain to actually pay the penalty for sin. It's great to have the Lamb with you. It's great that he's without spot and blemish. It's great that he can do all the miracles that he's doing as he's showing what it means to live in right relationship with God and to be dependent upon him as the Father and listen and be dependent upon the Holy Spirit to empower you for ministry. Jesus did all of those things, and it's great that he did all that. But he had to be slain to take away the sins of the world, and so he did. See, only a perfect sacrifice could remove the scourge of sin from all mankind for all time. Once for all. Like I said earlier, the wages of sin is death. And death, for most of us, is the ultimate fear. Apart from God, death is fearful because it is the end for us. But those of us who believe in the Lord, those of us who follow him, recognize that death is not the end. Death is the curtain, it's the veil that we walk through until we get to the other side to continue our life in eternity with him. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 9. We're going to go through 9, from 9 through 18. It says this, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." He might taste death for everyone. That means you. That means you. I don't know where you're coming from right now. I don't know if you've just landed here with us and you were just going through Facebook or whatnot, but God is talking to you right now and saying this, that he might taste death for everyone. Jesus tasted death for you. "In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering." Jesus suffered for you. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He's not ashamed to call you brother. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him." And again, he says, "Here am I and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. That's us. Held in slavery by our fear of death. To threaten someone's life is one of the greatest things you can do, or to threaten the life of someone that they love. Still, it's fear of death. Jesus came to destroy that fear. "For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Jesus has walked in the same places that you've walked. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to go through pain. He's not distant from us. He's not sitting in some high, lofty tower and never having experienced anything that we've gone through. He's gone through all of it. He's smelled all the smells. He's felt the pain. He's cut his finger. He's done all those types of things because he had to know what that would be so that he could be a merciful high priest. He is our mediator with the Father. And what a great mediator he is. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start here in verse 11. As I start into this, recognize Jesus died once for all. It's not that he died once for many or he died once for one. He died once for all, that all who would believe in him would have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. It says this, in verses 11 and following, "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." See, when lambs were sacrificed, their blood would just cover your sins. It was a temporary thing. It could never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever, those who are being made holy. That's us, those who believe in him. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, that's us, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Jesus paid the final sacrifice for our sin. He did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for all mankind. But why are we not all forgiven? Forgiveness is there. Why are we not all going to heaven? Why are we not all going to meet him on the other side there in that place? Because we have to believe in him. The offer is there. The price has been paid. But it's a gift that you have to be willing to take up and accept and receive and move into. It's there. It's your choice. It's freely given. It's pretty incredible. But here's the best part. If Jesus had just died and paid the sacrifice for us, that would have been great. But how would we know that it actually had effect? How would we know that it's real? How would we know that the efforts that Jesus made throughout his entire life to be pure and spotless, to be sinless, to go to the cross for us, to just be brutally murdered? I mean, look at what took place in the Passion of the Christ. He was brutalized for you. And even Pilate, the one who authorized the death, he knew that Jesus was innocent. To be innocent and to be brutalized in that fashion is such a high crime. It is such a high crime. And Jesus did it willingly. He knew that what he was doing was laying down his life for you and for me. He died brutally for us. That would have been an amazing thing, and it is an amazing thing, even if it was done on its own. But where would the proof be after he's dead and gone that what he did meant anything? Where would the proof be? How do we know that what he did actually accomplished his purpose? That proof is what we're here celebrating today. If he were to free us from the power of sin and death, he would need to demonstrate his power over sin and death in a dramatic and real way. And that's what the resurrection is. If I'm going to say that I have power over death, then I better be able to prove that I can rise above death. And what better way to do that than to die, to be buried in a tomb, to have been brutalized in my death, and then to come back to life 3 days later in victory? Jesus didn't limp out of the grave when he came out. He came out in victory. He had a new body, a better body, and he had already gone and taken the keys to death, to hell, and the grave. He had won that. He had the victory, and he came out victorious. See, resurrection is the proof that he is precisely who he says he is. It's the proof that he went to the cross as the pure and spotless lamb on our behalf, just like he said he did. It's the proof that when he said it is finished, it was, that he has the power over sin and death. The grave could not hold him because the power that was within him was greater than the grave. It's interesting. We go through life recognizing that the thing that ends life is death, right? So what seems more powerful? Death seems more powerful than life. But in the kingdom, everything's backward. Life is more powerful than death. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. He went into the grave. He got swallowed. For the grave, that was a poison pill. It swallowed him, thinking that it had won. You know, we were talking about the Passion this week with our boys. And as we were reading through there and just talking about, you know, when they went to saying crucify him, and they chose Jesus, Barabbas, to be freed and not him. And they say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Think about the heyday that the devil was having that day. He had the Son of God in his grip. And he was squeezing and squeezing and squeezing and thinking, finally, I've got the victory over this guy. And Jesus let him do it. He let him do it all the way down to the grave. And when he went inside, he came out and he had won. He had won and he came out victorious. We see that without the resurrection, talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15:14, without the resurrection, our faith in Jesus is meaningless. We're still dead in our sins because there's no proof that what he did amounted to anything. But because of the resurrection, because he lives, we have proof, and we know that everything that he said was true, that Jesus is who he said he is, that he has given us life. He's given us life everlasting, and that we get to walk in that. See, in John chapter 11, verse 25, back when he was there with Lazarus, he's talking to Martha, and he says to her, he says this to her, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. He's speaking about that eternal life. We get life in Jesus eternally. It's so powerful, folks. He gives us life in the here and now that doesn't end with our physical death. It moves on into eternity. And we're meant to live with that eternal life and that eternal power right now here in space and time. We weren't meant to wait till glory to get to see that. We're meant to live with that reality presently in the here and now. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24 is where is one of the accounts of the resurrection. I want to read about the actual resurrection scene, and then I want to go into the talking about the disciples here. So this is going to be verses 1 through 12 to get started off. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. It's a big stone. All right. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Who's living? Jesus. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. See, Jesus had been talking about this for a long time, but it had been hidden from them. Even though the words were there, the testimony was there about what was going to take place, until they were walking in it, they didn't realize what that reality was going to be. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, sometime later, we see where Jesus appears to the disciples. This is great. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened. I think that's an understatement. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he said to them, do you have anything here to eat? It's funny. You talk to Mahesh Chavda, and he says, you know, if you're going to raise people from the dead, have some sandwiches around because they always come back hungry. Here's Jesus. Do you have anything to eat? He's eating with them. He's showing I have a real body. I'm really alive again. And this is a better body. I'm not walking around limping around. I have the scars on my hands and feet to prove the suffering that I did for you, to show you and to demonstrate to you how much I love you. But I'm okay. In fact, I'm better than okay. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus is setting them up. He says, I'm going to clothe you with power from on high. My intention for you and the intention of the Father is that you are to live a life powerfully, to show my love to the world, to tell people about what I have done, who I am, and how I want to rescue them out of darkness and bring them into light. And I'm going to empower you to do that. That's not living in fear. That's not living in weakness. That's not living in bondage. That's living in freedom. That's living a powerful life filled with love, filled with power, filled with soundness of mind, knowing that you are about the purposes of your Father. Jesus made a way back. And he sends them the Holy Spirit. Just go to Acts chapter 2 to read about what took place on Pentecost when they're in the upper room. He sends his Holy Spirit to empower them for ministry, powerful ministry. See, this isn't power waiting for the other side of death, of natural death. This is power that's available to us now as the Holy Spirit comes and does his work through us in a mighty way. We were meant to function in power in the here and now, representing our Father's interests in the world. You know, if you go to Romans 8, in verse 11, it talks about a very important concept for us to understand. That same power that raised Jesus from the grave is living inside us. The Holy Spirit comes and he lives and dwells inside us. And his power is here to do great and mighty things. He will dwell in us and empower us to carry out the purposes that God has in and through our lives. The Holy Spirit searches the mind of God. He testifies about who Jesus is, and he teaches us all things. He has an answer for every problem that we're in. He has the ability to overcome every situation that we're in. We have to remember to keep looking to him. We have to recognize who we are. Those of us who are in Christ have to know who we are. We have to know what is available to us, who is available to us, and his purposes for us. See, we don't need to be ruled by fear and death anymore. We can choose to live with Jesus in victory over death and sin by choosing to follow him. Resurrection is the proof of the finished work of Jesus rising in victory. And he's made a way for us. I want to go into Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. It's an important statement here that Jesus makes. Back one here. Jesus says this. This is what he says to John in Revelation. He says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." He has victory over it. He rules over it, and he wants to come and live inside you. He wants to empower you with the same power that rose him from the dead. And I tell you what, that's a mighty power. Go back here into Matthew chapter 27. This is good stuff. Matthew 27, there's some discussion about Jesus being resurrected from the dead before it actually goes through that portion of Scripture. Matthew 27, verse 50 through 53. Listen to what happens. "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple, which was huge, was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split." Listen to this. "The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people." It wasn't just one man who came out of the grave. Jesus brought with him the righteous dead in that area. That's some power coming up out of the grave. Jesus paid the price for resurrection, and it was so powerful. Bonnie Chavda talked about this. When he punched out of the ground, people came up with him. Jesus, he defeated death, and he did it in a mighty way. And there's already people from the other side testifying about the power of his resurrection. Now, come on, that's amazing stuff. That is amazing stuff. People in that region were witnesses to what happened with Jesus. If you're sitting there thinking, I'm not sure he was resurrected, you have hundreds of people who saw Jesus and others who saw people that they knew and who they knew of that had already been dead for a while testifying about the power of the risen Christ. I'm going to restate this again. It was never intended that you live a life of powerlessness, ruled by fear, weakness, and brokenness. It was always God's intention to empower you to live a life of power, of love, and strength as his representative in the earth on the basis of your relationship with him as a father. And he's made a way for you to enter into that relationship by the finished work of his son, Jesus the Christ, that he sent him for you because God loved you so much, he did not want you spending an eternity in darkness, and he didn't even want you spending the here and now in darkness. He wants you to come out of darkness into light. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. He's the light of all mankind, and he's come to you to rescue you from darkness and to give you life, and to give you life abundantly. Now, we're living in a season right now on the earth that is marked by fear. The enemy's got so much of the world wrapped around his finger by the spirit of fear. And I think people are catching on to that. Certainly, I know the body of Christ is catching on to that. See, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you're still living in fear right now and you don't know Jesus, know that he comes right now to say, let me just take you out of that. If you're a Christian and you're living in fear right now, recognize that you're exchanging something that God has already given you in victory over fear, victory over death, for a counterfeit that the enemy's offering you right now. Just stop it. Repent of that. Repent of it right now and say, Lord, I don't, you didn't give me a spirit of fear. You gave me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I know that. And I can choose right now to go right back to following you. Forgive me of that. Let me turn and walk away from that. If you don't yet know Jesus, know that he loves you. Know that he didn't come here to beat you with a stick. He was beaten for you. He had his flesh torn for you. His blood was poured out for you. His side was pierced for you to give you a way of access back into him. Jesus came so that we could live in him, that he could live in us, and that we could be found in the Father. So we know this by what Paul says. Here's a mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're living in Christ already right now, his power and his grace is present for you right now for the season that you're in, not just for you, but for those that are around you, because he wants you to testify about who he is. He wants you to give them a reason for the hope that you have. And if you don't yet know Jesus, he's calling out to you right now with these words. He's saying, come to me, follow me. Whatever you've been trying to do on your own, it's not working. He says, show me the brokenness in your life. Show me your broken life, and I'll show you mine. My life of perfection, my life of being the perfect sacrifice, my life of love. I see your life and I raise your life with my own life. He says this, exchange your life for mine. I've already paid the transaction fee. What we have is filthy rags. We walk around in our brokenness. We walk around in our failures. We walk around trying to do good, do right, do enough to earn our way to back to perfection, or whatever it is, whatever ideal it is, whatever religiosity that's seeped its way into your mind, just trying to do good to earn your way. You can never earn your way. And Jesus, in perfection, says, I died for you in perfection. Even when you hated me, I died for you because I love you. He says, exchange your life for mine. Opt in. Opt in. Lose your life for my sake and gain true life in me. The power of the resurrection can be alive and living in you. It is the proof that Jesus is who he said he is. It's the proof that he has eternal life waiting for you. It's the proof that you will never see the face of death because Jesus already holds the keys to death. Do we have any prophetic words today? All right. We didn't have any prophetic words for you to share with you today, but that's okay. I want to pray with you right now. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to today, on Resurrection Sunday, when we're celebrating the proof of who He is, that He is who He says He is, that we're celebrating the day that He has given us freedom from death, I just invite you to do that with me right now. If you want to, just bow your head with me and say this: Lord Jesus, I thank You that You paid the price for me. I thank You that Your body was torn for me, that You were brutalized for me, for the sins that I've committed in my life. Lord, right now I'm turned from them and I want to follow You. Come be the King of my life. I exchange my life for Yours. I thank You for Your forgiveness of my sins, and let me step out of the kingdom of darkness into Your kingdom of light. Let me walk with You now and forevermore. I commit my life to You, Jesus. In Your name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, you believe in your heart that Jesus came from the Father to die for you, and that God raised Him from the dead on the third day and forgave you of your sins, you have been saved, and you have a mission before you in your life to just keep surrendering to Him and to keep your eyes on Jesus and to know that He is going to grace you and supply every single need that you have. He will walk with you through any fire that you face, and He's going to love you and He's going to pour out His love through you. I want to pray for those Christians right now that are scared. You're scared about virus, you're scared about the economy, you're scared about your job, or your lack of a job, or whatever it is right now, challenges that you're facing in your family as you've been close with everybody right now. Or maybe you are, you're an essential personnel and you're in the midst of all of this right now. I just want to pray for you right now. Lord, we thank You for Your believers across the world. Lord, we thank You that You have given them grace for this moment right now. We thank You that You're reminding us right now, Lord Jesus, that You are more powerful than anything that the enemy can throw at us. Lord, we're thankful that You right now are imparting a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind right now to those that are operating in a spirit of fear. We repent right now, Lord Jesus, of all the things that we've been walking in, trying to cover up our fear, trying to cover up whatever anxieties that we're having, trying to cover up any of it, Lord. We repent of it right now to You, Lord Jesus. You're already our Lord. You're already our Savior. And we repent of those things that we've used to distract us from the things that are there. And Lord, right now we turn our eyes to You and we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Impart to me the grace that You have for me this day, that I can walk forward from here knowing that I'm walking in victory. No matter what I face, I know that I'm eternally destined to be with You, here in the here and now, and on into eternity. And I thank You, Lord. Lord, I bless Your people right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take communion together. You know, we've just celebrated, we're celebrating right now, His resurrection. It's our practice at our Father's house to do communion just about every Sunday. And we focus on His sacrifice that He's made. We focus on the things that Jesus has done. We remember the price that He paid. But today we are celebrating the fact that He didn't just pay the price. The check was cashed and we cleared. And here we are on the other side now, knowing that we can go to the bank with what Jesus is telling us. So here we go. I've got some crackers and some juice. You can have whatever it is that you have on hand right now. The Lord's looking at your heart. It's not about the fact that it's a wafer or all those other things. Jesus' body was broken for us. It was broken for us. His flesh was torn. It was torn in a brutal way. And He didn't deserve it. He chose it. He said, I willingly lay down my life for you. We deserved what He got. But we didn't have to get it. He got it for us. So Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your body that was broken for us. We thank You for Your flesh that was torn for us, that You would go and pay the price for our sins. We thank You. Take and eat in the name of Jesus. and likewise, his blood was poured out, his blood in the new covenant for us. It's a better covenant. Jesus is better than the law. His blood was poured out for us. You know, we have been going through the Passover season right now. This year, if you've been watching any of our videos, you know, this year is more poignant than others when it comes to the Passover. In the Passover, and this is a Passover meal that we're eating right now and celebrating the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. It was a Passover meal. And hearkening all the way back to the first Passover, God told them to paint the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts and on the lintel of their doorway, that he, when he saw it, he would pass over them and the destroyer would not come and take their lives, the lives of the firstborn, whether it was going to be their children, themselves, or their animals. God said, I would pass over and the destroyer will not come. See, God would see the blood of the Lamb and the destroyer would not be allowed to come in. The blood of the Lamb of God was poured out for us. And we get to partake in that covenant right now. And right now we're just asking for God's protection over his people as we take part in this Passover meal. And we consume this juice that represents his blood. We recognize that he has forgiven us of all sin. And we're calling on his power to protect us from this pestilence that's plaguing the world right now. That he would see the blood. And that thing would not be allowed to come near us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood poured out for us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the sacrifice that it was for you in a very true and real way. And we thank you that we get to celebrate that now today here on Easter Sunday. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with us today. We're really glad that you came. We hope that you are blessed by this. I hope that there are some of you out there right now who received Jesus for the first time. If you did, please let us know. Put something out there on the Facebook page or in the chat line. Let us know. We'd love to be able to pray with you and to be able to encourage you in this new way of life because it is a completely new way of life. You can't continue in the path you were on before. You get to turn now to Jesus and follow him, and life with him is always better. It may be hard, but it is always, always, always better. If you'd like to give to us today, there's going to be a slide that comes up later on here. We've been setting up our text to give through Vanco. There's some instructions that are in place for that. We'd be blessed if you gave to us. But also, if you're visiting with us from another church, maybe your church isn't streaming right now or doing all that kind of stuff, I encourage you to tithe to your local body. They're going to need that right now to get through this season. God's going to continue to bless them. We'd love for you to give here, but honestly, give to those that God has put over you right now as your spiritual covering. That's what we're doing in tithing. We're recognizing God's provision for us, his covering over us, and we're honoring him through those that he has put in as his representatives into our lives. So I encourage you to do that. Do what your heart leads you to as you follow the Lord. Thank you all very much. Have a very happy Easter. Enjoy time with your family if you can get it. And we love you and hope to see you next week. Talk to you soon.